FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it is August 28th, 2017. Summer is just about over. I don't think we've had a summer lull as far as the Trump administration is concerned, as far as what's going on in the world and politics. Trump hasn't had much of a vacation, but got somebody who's got some major insight into the situation, what's going on, why he's being attacked. Author of the New York Times bestseller Armageddon, and now his newest book is Rogue Spooks, The Intelligence War on Donald Trump. Dick Morris is with us now. Dick, welcome back.
Hey, good to be here again.
Hey, so we're looking at Trump. It looks like basically it's Trump versus the entire world, isn't it?
No, only about half of it.
But, at any 40%. Given time.
I think that there is a coup d'etat going on now in Washington by the establishment media and the intelligence community. And I think the goal is to get rid of Donald Trump, to oust him, because there's never been a president who so clearly and totally disagrees with the main premises of the establishment and does so with the aggressiveness and vigor of Trump. He's a nationalist. They're globalist. He believes in restricting immigration. They believe in open borders. He believes in tariff and trade regulation. They believe in free trade. He believes in national use of the military. They believe in collective action. He's opposed to the Iran deal. They're for it. He wants to get rid of government control in medicine. They want to promote it. In almost every area, literally every area, there is disagreement. And the left is terrified that Trump has developed access to a new voting group that can switch the balance of power. And that is white high school graduate, but not college graduate people, largely men. And that's a group that voted for Trump by 46 points. Wow. In the election, and it's sustaining him. And the polling shows that no matter how much they attack Trump, they don't really weaken his base much. And because it's a base in which they expect the establishment to attack them, they themselves feel screwed by the establishment. So they're not turned off when somebody else is attacked by it. And there's a resistance there that they're very frustrated about. And I think that what they decided to do is to invent a phony scandal about Russian meddling and then use that scandal to force Trump to backpedal, to be on the defensive, and ultimately to try to remove him from office. And that's what I think is going on right now. So the criticism of Trump and the negatives on it, I think, are not opinions. They're positions they're taking in connection with the coup. And I think it's a deliberate effort to oust him.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because the media has been so corrupt and so, you know, they're not even making a veiled effort at impartiality. They just want him out. They all want him out. You know, the intelligence agencies hate him because he wants to rein them in. Like you said, all these reasons. And yet that group of white male voters, especially males, but white voters, not necessarily college educated, the so-called deplorables, if anything, their support for him is increasing at this point.
Yeah. You know, it's a funny situation. The first thing that anybody learns about American politics when they arrive here is that rich people vote Republican and poor people vote Democrat. And yet now, particularly among the white vote, poor people voted for Trump and rich people voted for Hillary. And it reflects the dominance of the establishment in the electoral habits. And I think that's really what you're looking at here. But my book, Rogue Spooks, is really devoted to picking apart and exploding the narratives about Trump that are coming to dominate his image about Russia. It began when they hacked the Democratic Party emails and they were released right around the convention. And the fact of the matter is increasingly emerging that this was not a hack as much as it was a leak, where Bernie Sanders people leaked the emails that existed because they were furious at the at Debbie Wasserman Schultz for being biased to Hillary. A group of intelligence professionals, all from the CIA, who were retired, had a group called VIPs. VIPs. RIP. Yeah, Veterans of Intelligence, something, programs for sanity or some such.
Right.
But there are 16 distinguished intelligence leaders who studied it and concluded that the Russians could not have hacked this, that you had to be proximate to the machine to be able to do that kind of hacking. You had literally to be there. And so they came to that conclusion. And then Assange, the guy who's the head of WikiLeaks, swears that the Russians were not involved and there was an internal leak, not one that was by the Russians or by anybody else external. And it's easy to see what probably happened.
Yeah.
Podesta, Hillary's manager, wanted to make sure that this got blamed on Russia so that they could develop a campaign issue. And Hillary really didn't have any at that point. Then a few months later, this dossier gets completed, which was written by a guy who was a former British spy.
Yeah, Steele.
And Christopher Steele. And he was paid $160,000 to amass. And the information in it is just absolutely ridiculous. There's an allegation there of that there was a guy named Mike Cohn who went back and forth to Prague. And Cohn was the go-between who arranged the entire collusion.
But, except he never went there.
Prague,
the guy never went there,
His never passport. Went there, was in the U.S. the whole time.
Yeah.
And then they fingered a guy named Kusupovich, who was a Russian, and they claim he's the guy that hacked Hillary's computer, or the Democratic computer. And it turns out that he was in prison at the time, 600 miles from Moscow, in the middle of Siberia,
and they don't
serving
have
a 20-year sentence for pedophilia, and he couldn't possibly, he didn't have access to a phone, much less a computer.
Yeah, no internet.
And this
in
document,
Russian jails.
Which is so totally flawed, has completely dominated the debate in the past 8 months in American politics.
Yeah, well, that was what Comey's justification was. They got warrants from FISA, everything else. But I guarantee you, Dick, that that guy rotting away in the Siberian prison, they don't have access to internet in Russian jails. And they probably don't get cable.
Have a computer.
Yeah, right. They don't have cable
and
either.
And then when Trump was elected, before that, they were unable to get this dossier out. Nobody would touch it. Nobody would publish it because it was so fanciful and weird. And and after the election, the conspirators gave it to McCain, who gave it to Comey, who gave it to Obama, because Obama had 10 days left in his term. And Obama then leaked it, and it became all over the country. Everybody saw it. And they saw how crazy it was.
No one believed a word.
The intelligence agents who Brennan had hired at the CIA and the lawyers who Holder had hired at Justice were these ultra-radical types, I mean, incredibly militant and liberal. Brennan and Holder went to them and said, remain at your posts, stay at your desk, do not leave, do not quit. And in fact, extended civil service protection to about 1,000 of them so they could not be fired. And then they orchestrated them to do leaks to substantiate the charge of collusion. Like at one point, the New York Times published that the FBI had told them that it had actually listened in on conversations between Russian intel and the Trump staffers and had heard the collusion being plotted. Comey later admitted it never happened. It was complete fantasy. It was total disinformation. But the Times never retracted it. So with that, this background of a hacking that the Russians probably didn't do, a dossier that obviously is completely untrue, and a kind of confirmation from leaks that are inaccurate, there was this mythology built up that Trump had coordinated. The U.S. and the CIA station chief in Moscow just said the other day that there is no evidence of any collusion, and he was the station chief for 5 years, retired last month. And despite that, they embroil Trump. They infuriate him. He goes to meet with Comey, and Comey says, oh, I'm investigating this collusion. He says, there isn't any collusion, damn it. I didn't do any of this stuff. And I want you to focus on rounding up lone wolf terrorists in the U.S. and going after illegal criminal aliens and so on. And then Comey says, you have just obstructed justice by ordering me not to pursue the collusion. And there's no collusion. Yeah. And that becomes the basis for impeachment. And this whole thing is a coup designed to topple the government.
Are they going to be able to do this? Well, they're going to have a revolution on their hands, Dick. I mean, that 45% that are behind Trump aren't going to just take this sitting down. You think Antifa is a big deal. Think about those people.
Yeah, I don't think that. I mean, I hope it doesn't get to that. But I've recommended in the book that Trump ought to appoint a special prosecutor to investigate the special prosecutor, and in particular, investigate the leaks that come from that office.
Uh-huh.
It is routinely leaking, and that's their normal MO. It is the CIA MO in toppling foreign governments, and they're just kind of implementing that.
Yeah.
And I think that if Trump does that, he'll put them on the defensive. He'll be able to overcome them, and I think he'll get out of this. But you can't be sure. And the first thing to do is to recognize that this is not just bad press coverage. This is a deliberate coup. And once he recognizes that and understands that he's in a war, I think he's got a fair chance of winning it.
I think he understands it real well. I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, he's not gotten a fair shake from any of them. So the people who are really most threatened, the so-called establishment of both parties, right? I mean, they are really, they're the ones whose necks are hanging out there. Like Hillary Clinton said, if they ever found out what we did, you know, Trump would hang us. Basically, if he gets elected, Trump will hang us in the public square. I mean, how is this thing going to play out? Because there are people who do support Trump, or at the very least, they oppose these nefarious forces and want to clean up the government, drain the swamp.
Absolutely. Well, it's hard to be precise as to what's going to happen. But I do think that the Achilles heel of Mueller is the leaking, which is illegal. In some cases, violative of the national security, and his staff engages in it constantly, and they can really be forced out and marginalized. Mm. You were thrown on the defensive, and this prosecutor, while he's there, needs to look at the Clinton Foundation and at the liaison between Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton in Phoenix on the tarmac, and on Comey taking instructions from Lynch in describing the investigation during the campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's certainly to any casual observer, you got to wonder, gee, there's a lot of smoke here. There must be some fire. He must have done something. That's what they're hoping for, right? To sway public opinion.
Yeah, but
right.
No, it's not that. That's not their strategy. They know there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. And the smoke is gradually petering out. What they're hoping is that the investigation stampedes Trump into obstructing justice, so that they can get him for that. And what they're trying to do is find everybody who's ever known Trump since puberty and squeezing them and looking at all of their business and all of their records over in the last four decades to try to come up with pressure points that they can then use to elicit either phony testimony or involuntary testimony from people that could oppose Trump, and then proceed with that. And the problem is that Trump does not have a goalie protecting his goal. Clinton had the solid phalanx of the Democrats in fighting impeachment. Trump won't have that. Of the 42 Republican senators, seven did not vote for him. One, Lindsey Graham, voted for a third candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not the kind of solid Senate majority you need to block impeachment.
Yeah. On the other hand, a lot of those anti-Trumpers are now facing potential primary battles to retain their seats in the Senate.
That's very important.
And McConnell's got to be thinking about this. His popularity rating, I think, in Kentucky was 9% or something.
He has a couple of years before he has to run for re-election. So I think that he's less involved and less concerned than many others are. But I think Trump has a good chance to do this well. He just has to move properly about that. But one of the big things is we all have to be informed, and we have to work as hard to keep him in power as we did to get him there.
Yeah. Well,
so Barry, I need to get going, but I hope this was helpful.
All right. Just tell us, Dick, your website, where we find you. And
DickMorris.com. And the book is Rogue Spooks, The Intelligence War on Donald Trump, and Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, any of those old obsolete things called bookstores. Most of the big stores have them.
Yeah.
So where, enjoy it.
Where fine books used to be sold, right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Dick. Hey, it's always a pleasure having you on. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.